I am Plante on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. This past weekend, BC Liberals elected a new leader. There were some technical issues leading up to the phone-in vote Saturday, but all seemed to be well Saturday evening, whereupon Christy Clark was elected the next Premier of the province of British Columbia, the 35th since the province joined Confederation in 1871, and the second only female ever. Clark, who's been on leave from radio station CKNW, where she hosted the midday show, is a former cabinet minister who left the government of Gordon Campbell, whom she succeeds, in 2005. Joining me now to look back at the events of the past weekend and to look ahead to all sorts of political matters is John Twigg. He's a longtime political observer and independent journalist. He was a press secretary to Dave Barrett and for a short time was the leader of the BC Refederation Party. In the coming days, look for John's analysis, which will be featured here at thecommentary.ca. His own website can be found at johntwigg.com. Please welcome back to the Plante Online program, John Twigg. Good morning, Mr. Twigg.
Hi, Joe. Nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So we have a new premier. Was it a surprise that Christy Clark won?
Well, it was close. The reports had her in the lead all of the way, but the final vote was 52% in points to 48% for Kevin Falcon on the third ballot. And it was a preferential ballot. So, I guess you could say the pundits were right. They saw it coming, but I think the feedback I'm hearing today is they didn't realize it was so close.
How different will a Clark government be from, say, one that would have been headed by George Abbott or Kevin Falcon?
Well, hard to say because, we don't know what Abbott would have done. I think she's going to be different from Campbell in the sense I think she's going to be more engaging with the public. She certainly promised to be more consultative. She is more social or left-wing leaning than Falcon and Abbott would have been. I think she's kind of like a friendlier person, so the atmosphere in the legislature should be better. She has a long history and politics as a federal and a provincial liberal. She's a real liberal, large and small L. So that is bound to color the her administration somewhat. But on the other hand, she has to keep together the anti-NDP coalition, and that means that she can't stray too far to the left or else she'll alienate the conservatives that are in there. And that's probably the thing to watch for, is how well will she do at keeping her coalition together.
You sent me some stuff last night on email about this, the BC First Party.
Yes.
And then we saw some things on the news over the weekend from the BC Conservatives.
Yes.
Did you think that is a real threat, the end of the so-called Free Enterprise Coalition?
Well, it's not so much a threat to take over, but it's as we've seen in a few instances, every time the NDP has won, there was a fracture on the right, and it only takes about a 10% slice away of the coalition's vote to put the NDP into a majority. So I wouldn't expect a BC Conservative Party to elect a lot of MLAs, maybe none. I mean, like BC Reform, they had four MLAs for a while. But they don't have to have a lot of MLAs to pull just enough votes away from the Liberals. And on another point, too, there's the BC Conservative Party, which traditionally has been really kind of a redneck party, though I think they're trying to go more mainstream. This BC First Party is something new, and it's very populist. Its spokesman, likely to become leader soon, is Chris Delaney. And he is, of course, the fellow who signed up 700, well, not him alone, but he led an organization that signed up more than 700,000 people opposing the hated harmonized sales tax. So if they were to get that kind of populism going, they would draw a lot of votes, not only from the Liberals, but I think chiefly from the Liberals, but they could pull some NDP votes too. So BC politics, it's always interesting, sometimes very difficult to forecast.
Indeed. There's a lot of talk about Christy Clark, compared to Van Der Zandt, Kim Campbell.
Yeah.
Is she all style and no substance in your view?
Oh, no. I was thinking about that this morning before we started talking, and no, she's no Van der Zem. You know, I wouldn't say she's a heavyweight thinker, but she's got a lot more substance. Her platform that she posted on her website is surprisingly extensive and detailed, and to her credit, I might add. And yes, Van der Zem has substance too. It's just that you know, I think sometimes he used his style ahead of the substance. But they're similar in the sense that they're both sort of genial, pleasant people to deal with, regardless of whether or not you agree with their politics. But Christie's politics, I think, are a lot more mainstream than Van der Zem's ever were.
I mentioned Campbell. I meant Kim Campbell.
Oh.
There, just in case people listening might think I was referring to Gordon Campbell.
Yeah.
There's been talk about a repeat of what happened to Rita Johnston, winning the Socred leadership in 1991 and then going on to defeat. Do you think that's a possibility here?
Well, a lot depends on what the NDP does and who they select for leader, but yes, definitely. And it's interesting, Rita Johnston is coming out of the woodwork and making herself available to the media in the next couple of days. So, yeah, that's definitely the issue, is that, you know, it's one thing to win the leadership, but then how do you perform as the leader? You know, will she have a strong candidate? Will she be able to control it and steer it? Will they be effective? Will they be good managers? Or will they be, you know, all charisma and no substance? You know, it remains to be seen. The latest opinion poll has the Liberals ahead by 41-38%, which is the first time the Liberals have been ahead in an opinion poll in quite a few months, years maybe. And it's still close. So it's still very easy for Clark to lose the next election.
And when does the NDP choose its new leader?
April 17th, which is a ways away. And BC First has their AGM, which will select a leader on April the 9th. And then the BC Conservatives are sometime in May, and I'm sorry, I don't have the exact date.
So what happens now with the NDP? They've got an opponent now. They've got Christy Clark in their new premier.
Yeah.
What do they have to do to beat that?
Well, they have to get their own act together too, of course, which is... has been a challenge in the past, but, you know, they've got three pretty good candidates, Adrian Dix, Mike Farnworth, and John Horgan. And actually, there's a fourth. Dana Larson is in there, too. And Nicholas Simons, I'm not sure if he's going to be a registered candidate or not. But the three main ones are Horgan, Dix, and Farnworth. And they have to demonstrate to the public that... You know, they're not the old NDP. They're going to listen to the public somewhat and not pander to their left-wing supporters, but more try and do what's, you know, good for the province first and maybe for the party second.
You know, I was watching on TV. I saw a bit of her this weekend, and I've always liked her as Dawn Black. She's the interim leader.
Yeah.
And I don't see why she doesn't run. I mean, that I think that isn't that instant gravitas?
Well, you know, she doesn't have a long background in provincial politics. She was mainly a federal MP.
Right.
So, and I don't know either whether or not she has the economic credentials. I think she's more of a social policy expert. So I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. There was talk just before the vote from Christy Clark saying that she'd call a snap election. Has she backed away from that?
Yes, she has. For a variety of reasons, including her own self-interest. But, yeah, she's got to let the NDP choose a new leader.
And so I guess the next step for her is to get sworn in, form her own cabinet. How soon do you think until she's calling a by-election for herself?
Yeah, we haven't heard that yet. I think Campbell, though, will pull the pin as soon as she wants and then clear the way for her to run in Point Grey, which is a tough riding, but she should be able to win it. But as you'll see in the article, for people listening, there's a huge long list of things that Clark has to do. You know, the legislature, the budget, the cabinet. It's a really daunting task that's ahead of her.
And if she runs in Point Grey,
yes.
She'll run unopposed, right? The NDP won't front a candidate, is that correct?
Well, traditionally there's a nicety in politics, mainly I think at the federal level, where in situations like this they let the candidate win. I don't think that'll apply this time, and in fact I think the NDP might put up a good candidate in my mind, so they should.
And the talk I'm hearing is that they'll put up Sarah Blythe, who is I guess she's on Parks Board, is she, or School Board? I can't remember now.
Well, I don't know her, but that's a very good idea. And another possibility is Dana Larson, the leadership candidate.
Yeah. There have been some talk about the voting issues with regards to the BC Liberal leadership vote and people not getting PIN numbers and the sort. Have those issues been put to rest?
Well, the party would like them to be put to rest, but I don't know. I've been crunching the numbers. They had a two-thirds turnout of about 95,000 members, and the difference was 2%. So, I'd like to know more about, where did the missing pins, where are they concentrated? Who didn't get their pins and who didn't vote? How many dead people were on the list?
Yeah. What else are you watching? What else is on your radar, John?
It's the HST thing. Christie's talking about having a referendum on June 24th, and that's moving it up from September. And that will be, I think, some kind of a bellwether for, public voter intentions going forward. If it's defeated widely, well, that doesn't bode well for the Liberals. If it's defeated narrowly, well, what does that mean for the NDP? For BC First, if they get a bunch of momentum out of it, sort of a we told you so thing, a lot could happen. And so we've got to see Christie's cabinet. Will the Blair Lextrom and Bill Bennett, the ousted members, be welcomed back into caucus, and then will they be in cabinet? There's just really a lot of loose ends at this time.
And the NDP vote, the leadership vote there, how will they do that? Is that an old-style convention, or is that going to be something like what the Liberals have done?
Well, ironically, they're using the same private sector contractor that the Liberals did, Intellivote, out of Nova Scotia.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it'll be a one-member, one-vote thing, but I don't know if they're going to do the same PIN system. But still, one-member, one-vote makes it a radically different contest, too. Instead of cliques getting together, this will be, if you're interested, and mind you, it's too late for the public to sign up because they have a 90-day waiting period, but still, there was some sign-up. So there could be some surprises, too.
John, these are exciting times here in the province. Thanks for this.
Well, I look forward to being a regular contributor to the commentary, and I invite people to check it out.
The website for more, johntwig.com. Look for John's discussion of politics on this website shortly and regularly for the next few months as Christy Clark becomes premier, as the NDP elects its new leader, and more. A bit of an addendum. Earlier, I mentioned a possible NDP candidate in Vancouver Point Grey is Sarah Blythe. In fact, the name that's been most prominent on the internet and the media elsewhere is Patty Backus, who's the Vision Vancouver School Board Chair at the moment. John Twigg on the line from Burnaby this morning in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.